A bill working its way through the legislature would take another shot at restricting when schools could teach sex ed and require parents to opt their kids into those classes rather than allowing them to opt out. This comes after Governor Ducey vetoed another sex ed related bill, saying its language was overly broad and vague. He did, however, issue an executive order specifying procedures for school districts to let parents see the materials related to sex ed courses ahead of time. Like the vetoed bill, the new measure would prevent schools from teaching sex ed before fifth grade. It would also put into law much of what was in the governor's order, among other provisions. We have two perspectives on this today, starting with Kathy Herrett. She's president of the Center for Arizona Policy, which backs the bill. And Kathy, based on the governor's executive order, why is this new bill necessary?
A primary purpose of the new bill, House Bill 2035, is to codify the governor's executive order. That executive orders can come and go depending on the governor. And so there was a need. Legislators wanted to see the governor's executive order codified. So that's a primary purpose for the new bill.
But this bill also goes a fair bit further than what the governor did in his executive order, right?
Well, the bill doesn't really go further. It addresses what the governor said in his veto letter, that he was concerned about whether the initial bill would allow good touch, bad touch, child sexual assault, abuse prevention type of instruction in the classroom. So the new bill clarifies that basically sex education is not abuse prevention. It's not the same thing. And that nothing in the law prohibits that type of instruction from going on in the classroom. So it clarifies that and, you know, meets the governor's request in that arena. And then it basically keeps much of the original bill, including codifying what the governor in his executive order basically had all of the bill's provisions regarding accessibility for parents for what the sex education curriculum is going to be, the notice, the ability for parents to weigh in on the curriculum, to be notified in advance of when sex education is going to be taught in the schools. So the governor had that in his executive order. It's putting it in statute. And so that's what the new bill is about.
Why fifth grade as the lower age group for having sex ed? I mean, are there elements of health or sex ed that you think are appropriate before fifth grade?
Well, what we've heard from parents is that they would rather not have sex education provided in their schools prior to fifth grade. By not providing sex education prior to grade five, we're protecting younger children from material they're not ready for. Protect the parents' right to decide when and how to introduce sensitive material and to teach their children about sex. And so I think there's a concern about parents' rights and that K through four in the public schools, that the public schools do not need to engage in that area, leave it to parents, and then provide sex education as the local district determines or sees fit beginning in fifth grade.
One of the concerns that educators have brought out about this issue is that it really doesn't just affect, they say, sex ed classes. It affects literature classes and history classes and social studies classes. And if teachers and schools and districts have to get written signed permission from parents before they talk about anything related to sex ed or sexuality, anything like that, it really limits what they can teach that is otherwise in the curriculum, but not specifically in a sex ed curriculum. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, that argument is one that I believe is a red herring, and it's intended to kill the bill again. And I would encourage people to actually read the bill. And, you know, current law already requires that parents be notified in advance and give the opportunity to withdraw their children from any instruction or presentation regarding sexuality. So that's already the current law. And the schools appear to not have any problems with that. We're not hearing where they're having difficulty determining what sexuality is and notifying parents. So we assume they're following current law. We're not hearing otherwise. So the bill simply changes that from withdraw to opt in. And, you know, it's sexuality. It doesn't single out any type of sexuality. And, you know, what we've said is you can teach Romeo and Juliet without teaching sexuality. And if it's, say, you take the AP English class, and if it's an explicit novel that's the assignment in that AP English class, then parents should know about it and they should be able to opt their child in. And that's what this is about, is that it's still about leaving matters of sexuality in where the parents are aware of and they're opting their child in. And so some of the claims being made about sexuality, Well, they don't seem to be having problems with it now, so I don't think they would have problems with it in the future.
Let me ask you about another criticism that's coming from the LGBTQ community. And they say that these kinds of laws stigmatize students who are members of that community or have parents who are members of that community and basically precludes them from having a forum for discussing it or being able to ask questions about it. And even this bill would apply to after school clubs and activities, things like that. Is that not a concern?
Well, let me clarify. House Bill 2035 does not prohibit any clubs or after-school activities in grades 5 through 12. That is not in the bill. Arizona law already requires that the list of clubs, extracurricular clubs, be available for parents at the beginning of the school year if they want to be aware of what clubs are available. So this does nothing to change that or to require parental opt-in for a student to participate in an after-school club. The other key thing I think to note is that this bill, it treats all sexuality-related instruction equally. It doesn't single out any type of sexuality. So it is not anti-LGBTQ. It simply is saying on matters of sexuality, on matters of sex education, that parents should be able to be informed and have the right to opt their child in to those types of classes.
Kathy Harrod is president of the Center for Arizona Policy. Critics of the measure, though, say their concerns with this version are similar to their concerns with the vetoed bill. They include the stigmatization of LGBTQ students and the potential for non-sex ed classes to be affected if issues of sexuality or sexual orientation come up. Richie Taylor is communications director for the Arizona Department of Education. Before the governor vetoed the original bill, he tweeted that while growing up gay in rural Arizona, it, quote, would have been life-changing for him to have access to information and resources that could have helped him, quote, make sense of it all. Taylor joins me to talk more about this. And Richie, let's start with your experience and why this issue is so personal for you.
Sure. So I grew up, I'm out of high school for 20 years now. I grew up in Safford, Arizona, out in Graham County. I grew up gay. Things were different then, but sometimes a little bit similar today. That tweet was about the first version of the bill, but I think there's still some relevant stuff. I grew up with a lot of shame and isolation and, fear that someone would find out I was different, that someone would find out I was gay. And I wish that back then I had had more an accepting space to feel safe, to feel welcome, to learn about myself, to make sense of it all, I guess. And I still live with the lasting effects of growing up with that weight on me, 20 years later, 25 years later. When you grow up hearing people talk about you or talk about your sexuality in homophobic terms, even if not specifically directed at you, you internalize that and it becomes kind of poisonous.
What kind of sex ed did you have in school?
I had very little to none. I think there was one time in sixth grade where they kind of told us, that how our bodies might change. Maybe something about you should use a condom, but that was really it.
So what about these bills concerns you then, given your experience and how it's still with you?
Well, I think legislation like this really harms the most vulnerable children who need school to be a safe and welcoming space. They need information on how to protect themselves and make sense of what they're going through. And I think a lot of these bills and the rhetoric that surrounds them do a lot of damage. In the most recent survey on LGBTQ mental health, youth mental health from the Trevor Project, 94% of LGBTQ youth report that the politics around the recent politics negatively impact their mental health. Words matter, and they hear these debates and they hear what should or shouldn't be talked about in schools that's relevant to them. And I think, you absorb that. And I think that's what's the most problematic thing from my perspective.
So I'm wondering if the new version of this bill in your mind is any better than the one the governor vetoed.
Well, I'm certainly grateful that Governor Ducey vetoed the original version with the language that explicitly targeted LGBTQ people and topics. But I think that even the new watered down version could have similar effects. By putting so many restrictions on what schools can and cannot do, creating these very restrictive processes, it's more likely that schools just say, that this just isn't worth it. And I think that's kind of the point of the legislation.
Do you think that affects sex ed classes? Does it affect history classes, literature classes, other types of classes as well, do you think?
Yeah, I think that it has a chilling effect overall. You know, schools have so much on their plate. There's so much. We're recovering from a pandemic. We're getting ready to go back in person if they aren't already. And I think making these things harder for schools to do just has the effect of not doing it. And that's bad for kids. It's bad for all kids, not just LGBTQ kids. All kids need to learn about what they need to do to keep themselves safe.
What do you think about the executive order that the governor issued after vetoing the bill, which is part of what this new bill would do? Supporters say they want to put that into law as opposed to just an executive order.
You know, I think that let's take a step back. I think at the end of the day, we should be trying to champion policies that create more inclusive and welcoming spaces for all students in our schools and not making it harder for schools to do so. I think the executive order, you know, was a middle ground that people could have lived with. But I think, like I said, at the end of the day, we should be moving in the direction of policies that help students learn what they need to learn and not go backwards.
One of the things that supporters talk about with this bill is that it doesn't really discuss any particular sexuality. It's not pro or anti anything in particular. It's just a matter of setting the parameters for when sex ed should start and giving parents a little bit more insight into what's happening and letting them, having them opt their kids in as opposed to opting them out. In your mind, what is the problem with that approach?
Well, you know, I wouldn't have been comfortable back when I was growing up to come to my parents and talk to them about why I needed to learn these things or why it was important for me to have a space at school to do so. And I don't know that my parents would have been ready for that conversation at that point either. I think for the most vulnerable students, school is a safe place. Sometimes it's the place they feel the most safe. And until we have a society where we don't have shame or bigotry against different types of people, I think that, like I said, we should be doing everything we can to protect those most vulnerable students, of which I was one. And I think that, like I said, creating more restrictions and making the process harder, it just has the effect of chilling the debate and what happens at schools. And I think that's problematic.
Do you think that if parents have to opt in as opposed to opting out, that fewer Arizona kids will get sex ed?
Yeah, I think they will. And I think, you know, if we're talking about, and this is not about my situation or experience growing up, but I think if you're talking about children who are potentially being abused at home or by loved ones, I think that opt-in requirement makes it less likely that they would get information that they need. And so, I go back to saying, I think we need policies that create spaces and the possibility for policies that help children get the information they need.
Richie Taylor is Communications Director for the Arizona Department of Education.